أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، اللهم صل على محمد. واللعنة الدائمة الباقية لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. During these majalis of Ashr-e Muharram, we have been looking at the similarities and the connection between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farjahu sharif. Also looking at the issue of Karbala and the appearance of the Imam, the Zuhur. However, as I had said every night, I would like to begin with a hadith from the Ma'asum about the importance of the Aza of Sayyid al-Shuhada. And for tonight, I have a statement which is actually narrated by Abu Hamza al-Thumali as well as Abu Basir. And these are the two companions who heard these words from the fourth and the sixth Imam. And this is where we see that, you know, the importance which is given to the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam has been there from day one after the events of Karbala. And this relates to the an important ziyarat, because when we look at the books like Mafatihul Jinan, we see that there are ziyarats for different occasions in the Islamic calendar. Some of them are related to the events related to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but some of them are actually not related to him directly. And one of them is this one, where the Imam says, "Man ahabba an yusafihuhu 100,000 نبي و24,000 نبي." Whoever likes that 124,000 prophets would shake his hand, then what should he do? فليزر قبر أبا عبد الله الحسين بن علي في النصف من شعبان. Then he should go for visitation to the shrine of Hussein bin Ali عليهم السلام on the 15th of Sha'ban. فإن أرواح النبيين عليهم السلام يستأذنون الله في زيارته فيؤذن لهم. Because the souls of the prophets actually seek permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to visit the shrine of Hussein on the 15th of Sha'ban, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them. And both the Imams then say, منهم خمسة أولو العزم من الرسل, that even the five major prophets that we believe in, Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them would be there. And so this is where we come to realize that when we talk about the connection between Imam Hussein and Imam Mahdi, 15th of Sha'ban is not historically related to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is the birthday of Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala faraj al-Sharif. But we are told on that day to recite the ziyarat of Hussein ibn Ali. And this is where we see that the Ma'asumeen themselves have established this special relationship between Hussein and al-Mahdi. Salawat. Tonight I would like to talk about this connection and even a point of difference between the events of Karbala and the Zuhur of Imam Mahdi. But to understand that, I would like to present you a different perspective tonight. And that is about the importance of these three stages in the struggle between good and evil. All the way, the struggles we started from Adam and ending with Al-Mahdi. There are three epic-making events in human history. One has two of them have already taken place, and one will happen before the end of the time. The first one is the struggle of Ibrahim alayhi salam against Shaitan. The second is the struggle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam against Yazid. And the third one is the struggle of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam against Sufyani and other forces who will come. When we look at the case of Ibrahim Khalilullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim on a personal level. Of course, there were different tests, but I'm talking about the final one, the most important one. And that was more on a personal level, where he was commanded to sacrifice his own son Ismail. Of course, you know, when the command came and Ibrahim alayhi salam decided to implement, as well as Ismail agreed to that, when they were going from what is now known as Mecca to the area outside it known as Mina, the shaitan came in between to misguide Ibrahim. And you know, when shaitan or his forces or his agents come, they do not always come openly. Actually, they always come and you know, disguise as if they are very sincere to you. And the way they portray things to you is to put it in a very positive light. For example, Shaitan came to Ibrahim and he said, you know, you are known as a very important figure in the community. If you do this, then your followers will start slaughtering their own sons. So this is not what you should do. And so he is actually portraying himself as being a very sincere person for the cause of Ibrahim. Of course, in all those three instances when Shaitan came to Ibrahim, he, you know, he was steadfast till the end and he shunned the shaitan away. And this is where, you know, Allama Iqbal talking about the success of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let me go back to him again on this issue tonight. And again, this poetry is in Farsi where he says, Harke haq boshad chun jan andar tanash, kham nagardad pishe batil gardanash. Whoever possesses the truth like a soul in his body, his head never bows down to falsehood. خوف را در سینه او راه نیست. خاطرش مرعوب غیر الله نیست. Fear never finds its way to his heart. His heart is never afraid of anyone but Allah. می کند از ما سوا قطع نظر. می نهد ساتور بر حلق پسر. He totally ignores everything around and places his knife on his son's neck. Referring to this devotion of Ibrahim alayhi salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in total submission. Ibrahim's success became an important part of the Islamic thought and practices. One of the five pillars of rituals in Islam is Hajj. And what is Hajj? Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca, is nothing but remembering the level of submission of Ibrahim and Ismail in their willingness to sacrifice their life, the most precious thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. However, and this is a very important point, which is the theme for tonight. However, at the end, Allah himself intervened and Ismail was replaced with a sheep or a lamb, which came from paradise. Allah wanted only to see their willingness to sacrifice. He didn't want actually Ibrahim to sacrifice his son. Let us look at the story of Ibrahim in chapter 37 of the Quran, verses 100 to 110. I'll go through it very quick. Remember that Ibrahim, he was very old when he didn't have a child. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, decided to bless him with a son. And this is Ismail, the older one. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, responding to his prayers, he says, وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. And we gave him the good news of a patient and forbearing boy. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعِي. And when his son reached the age when he could work with him. So first of all, Allah blesses him as a son in a very old age. And once Ismail reaches to an age where he can work with his father, especially when we talk about erecting the walls of the Kaaba, قَالَ. At that moment, Ibrahim alayhi salam says to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي عَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Ibrahim says, O my son, I have surely repeatedly seen in a dream that I'm sacrificing you. So ponder and let me know what do you think. So this is very interesting that Ibrahim alayhi salam is not forcing Ismail. He's actually now talking to him that we are both being tested and I would like you to be with me willingly. And this is where, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدَنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. He says, O my father, Ismail responds to Ibrahim, O my father, do whatever you have been commanded to do. You shall find me, God willing, among those who are patient ones. And so they decided on the day, and they went to away from their settlement inside what is known as Mecca. They went to Mina, and there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes the story where he says, فَلَمَّ أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. And so when both of them totally submitted, and Ibrahim placed Ismail down with one side of the forehead on the ground, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ. We, basically Allah says, we became pleased with their devotion, and so we called out to him. And we said, أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نُجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. O Ibrahim, you have indeed made the dream come true. Surely this is how we reward the good doers. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ. This is indeed a manifest trial for you. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِضِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. And we have replaced him with a great sacrifice. The zahiri meaning, the exoteric meaning is that the sheep which came from the paradise was the great sacrifice in place of Ismail. وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And we preserved his praise among the later generation. سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ كَذَٰلِكَ نُجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Peace be upon Ibrahim. This is how we recompense the good doers. This is the short story of the sacrifice in the Quran. So we are told to symbolically relive the event of Ibrahim and Ismail in Mina by, number one, stoning the three stone pillars in Mina, a symbol of shunning away the shaitan from our lives. And number two, doing the sacrifice of a lamb or a sheep in remembering the sacrifice by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let me for a moment, you know, just digress. That by the way, you know, we hear some of the Muslims criticizing the rituals of Azadari as bid'at and this is haram. You know, if they really have problems with the rituals of Aza and the grief and the mourning that we do in Muharram, then they should not be going for Hajj at all. Because what is Hajj? Hajj is actually retracing the footsteps of Ibrahim and Ismail and Hajra. From the Tawaf around the Kaaba to the Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, from stoning the three pillars in Mina to doing the sacrifice of a lamb or a sheep in Mina. And so we actually are trying to retrace the footsteps of these awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we do on the day of Ashura, especially in the rituals? This is also remembering that tragedy, trying to visualize what happened on that day and to connect ourselves with Hussein ibn Ali, the way we connect to Ibrahim and Ismail and Hajra when we go for Hajj. Hajj itself is only obligatory on the Muslims who have the financial or health capability to go for Mecca. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to confine this remembrance of the sacrifice of Ibrahim to only the rich people. It became a ritual, an important ritual among the Muslims around the world, that on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, Muslims celebrate that day as the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, the feast of sacrifice. When Ibrahim and Ismail succeeded in their test of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the part of our religious rituals till the end of this dunya. As long as the dunya is there, the world is there, Muslims will be going for Hajj. So that's the first epic making event in the human history that I would like to, you know, discuss tonight. Then let us now move fast forward to the coming of the Mahdi, the third epic making event. Mahdi, the Savior, for whom everyone is waiting. You know, even the Jewish people are waiting for a Savior, Christians are waiting for the Savior, Hindus are waiting for the Avatar to come. You know, so all religions have that understanding of waiting for somebody who will come and bring global peace to the world. They identify different persons. For us in Islam, it is Mahdi. For the Shi'is especially, it is the 12th Imam, who will come before the end of the time to establish the kingdom of God on this earth with the support of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And of course, there will be a number of forces who will emerge to oppose al-Mahdi, but he will be able to defeat them one after another until he establishes his headquarters in Kufa. And so that is the third epic making event. And so I started with the first one and very quickly went to the last one. Karbala is right in between the two. And in our discussion, we have been looking at the similarities between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala faraju sharif. But tonight, I would like to talk about the difference, especially the difference between the first epic making event and the third epic making event and the event of Karbala in between. In the case of the two events, the first and the last one that I mentioned here, we see the intervention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is beyond any doubt. Allah intervened in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam by saving his son Ismail by replacing him with a lamb. In case of Imam Mahdi also, Allah's intervention is very crucial. And let me, you know, spend some time in explaining that why is the intervention by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the events after the advent of al-Mahdi is very important. Let us, you know, hear a salawat, please, first. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervene in the events regarding al-Mahdi? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given enough time to humans to establish a durable peace in the human society. However, centuries after centuries, the prophets came, the books came, the teachings came, but the human society has not been able to establish a durable and lasting peace. Why? Because they were not able to base their movement on the basis of true justice. And it is obvious that if there is no justice, there can be no peace. You know, just look at the United Nations organization, UNO. This is the biggest achievement of human civilization. All the time, you know, from the past to the present, this whole idea of having a global organization or a global government which will control events around the world and control the countries against one another. You know, this was created with a very good, you know, purpose. The idea was to promote universal human rights and democracy. But the UNO itself, when it comes to its executive branch, the Security Council, it is undemocratic. The General Assembly really doesn't have much power. And even when you look at the Security Council, the permanent members have veto power. And they are the barrier to many of the issues which comes in front of them, but they have their own agenda, their own plans and purpose and interest. And this is where we come to realize the United Nations organization is a symbol of the failure of the collective attempt of human beings to establish a global organization for peace, a durable peace on a world level. Nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that if humans cannot establish a durable peace by themselves, He will intervene, however, before the end of this world, to show us the true peaceful society based on justice. And this is a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in Surah An-Nur, chapter number 24, verse 55. Where he says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the promise to the believers among you and those who do good deeds. Three things have been mentioned in this promise. Number one, وَلَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْعَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, that He will indeed and surely make His righteous servants to inherit the earth. The idea of inheriting the earth means they will be totally in control of the entire world. And this is where we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those who have belief and who are good doers. The second thing He says, وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ, He will bring about the circumstances that they will be able to practice the faith that Allah has chosen for them. And if you want to understand which is that faith, you have to go to the event of Ghadir, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the vilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib, He declared, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمَ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, that today I am pleased with Islam as a religion for you. So the Islam without the vilayat of Ali is not the deen الَّذِي إِرْتَضَى لَهُمْ, that Allah has chosen for them. And this is where we come to realize that the second promise is that Allah will bring about the circumstances where the believers will be able to practice their faith without any hindrance. And the third promise, He says, وَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا, that He will change their state of fear into the state of peace. They will worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, and whoever disbelieves after that, they are indeed among the sinful ones. So when we look at this divine promise, you know, when is this going to materialize? This divine promise will manifest in form of the appearance of the Savior at the end of the time in the name of Imam Mahdi Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajul sharif salawat pranayak barak. Now I come back to my theme that in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervened towards the end of the event. When it comes to the third epic making event referring to the advent of Mahdi alayhi salam, we also see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give full access of divine power to al-Mahdi. Let me just give you some examples tonight to clarify what I mean by that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless Imam Mahdi and through him his senior officers, perhaps referring to 313 companions, He will bless them with special powers to implement the divine plan. Remember the words of Dua Iftitah that we recite every night in the month of Ramadan, where we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying for Imam Mahdi, we say, Allahumma salli ala wali amrika al-qa'im al-mu'ammal, that Allah shower your blessings on your wali, your representative, who will establish your domain and government. Al-Qa'im bil-Mu'ammal. Al-Qa'im is the one who will establish the government. Al-Mu'ammal, the one who for whom we hope. Al-Adl al-Muntazar, the justice that we are waiting for. وَحُفَّهُ بِمَلَائِكَتِكَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. And Allah surround him with the angels who are close to you to support him. وَعَيِّدُهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. And further strengthen him with the Holy Ghost. Or as we, this is the English translation, but it refers to the major angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So this is one dua that we see this idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help Imam Mahdi with the angels. The second point of divine intervention in case of the government established by Imam Mahdi is that the human officers of the Imam also will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a narration from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam, where he says, إِذَا قَامَ الْقَائِمِ بَعْثَ فِي أَقَالِيمِ الْعَرْضِ فِي كُلِّ إِقْلِيمٍ رَجُلًا. That when the Qa'im will come and establish his government on this earth, he will send a special representative to every region of the world. Let's say somebody like a governor general for every different regions. And he will say to him, أَحَدُكَ فِي كَفِّكَ. Your instructions. Let me repeat that. Your instructions are on your palm. This is the literal, you know, wordings there. فَإِذَا وَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ أَمْرٌ لَا تَفْهُمُهُ وَلَا تَعْرِفُ الْقَضَاعَ فِيهِ فَانْظُرُ إِلَى كَفِّكَ وَعْمَلْ بِمَا فِيهِ. Whenever you come to a situation that you do not understand, or you do not know how to make the judgment or decision in that matter, then look at your palm and see whatever is written there and act according to that. Maybe if we were talking about this hadith about, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, people will say, you know, what are you talking about? This is not possible. But now this hadith is not that difficult for the present generation to grasp this possibility of such powers. If we as simple human beings can transform vast information that we have from books into a mini equipment like the laptop or iPhone or iPad or tablet, you know, the laptop that I carry, I have thousands of, you know, reference books of the Islamic sciences within it. So the whole library is in there, in a small place. And we actually use this term, we say, you know, the information these days are at your fingertips. So if we human beings can generate and create equipments and technology where we can put all this information from the books, for example, into a very mini computer, then it should not be difficult for the Imam alayhi salam, with the power that Allah has given to him, to place his instructions in the actual palms of his senior officers. Remember the days when we had these new gadgets coming up? There was one which was known as palm. And probably there was kind of a prediction of what will be during the time of Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajuhu Shari Salawat Pranayik Barar. One more example of the special powers which will be given to Imam Mahdi and his officers is a hadith where we are told, وَيَبْعَثُ جُنْدًا إِلَى الْقَسْطَنْطِينِيَةِ, that he will send an army going towards the west. فَإِذَا بَلَغُوا الْخَلِيجِ, then they will come to a water, maybe a river or a gulf in between. The enemy would be on the other side, they are on this side of the water. So how will they cross over? كَتَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَقْدَامِهِمْ شَيْئًا وَمَشُوا عَلَىٰ الْمَا. They will be instructed to just write something on their feet And then they'll be able to walk on the water itself. The hadith goes on to say, فَإِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهِمِ الرُّومِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. When the Christians from the other side, when they will witness that this army of Imam Zamana is actually walking on the water, قالوا, they will say to one another, هؤلاء أصحابه يمشون على الماء فكيف هو. These are the followers of that Imam, and if they are able to walk on the water, then what will be his power or his status? فعند ذلك يفتحون لهم أبواب المدينة. They will open up the gates to their city, and فيدخلونها, and the Muslims, the Mahdi's army will get in, and they will actually become Muslims. فيحكمون فيها ما يشاءون. And this is where we see that, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to intervene when it comes to the formation of the final global divine government at the hand of Imam Mahdi ajallallahu ta'ala faraju sharif. Let me conclude this part just to understand that there are certain things in our du'as that we do not connect to it right away. The entire concept there is actually even reflected in the prayer and the wish that we have in du'a iftitah, where we say, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. That, O Allah, we, you know, are hopeful towards you, and we pray to you regarding a noble government which will come in form of the government of Imam Mahdi. تُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامُ وَأَهْلُهُ. And through that government, Islam and the people of Islam will be honored. وَتُظَلُّ بِهَا النِّفَاقُ وَأَهْلُهُ. And the people who are hypocrisy and the followers of hypocrisy will be disgraced at that time. And then we pray, we say, تَجْعَلُنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّعَاتِ إِلَى تَاعَتِكَ وَالْقَادَةِ إِلَى سَبِيلِكَ. وَاللَّهُ include us among those who are going to be calling the people towards obedience to the Imam Mahdi, and to be the leaders to guide them towards the Imam. وَتَرْزُقُنَا بِهَا كَرَامَةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ. And by doing this, O Allah, you will grant us the honor in this dunya and the hereafter. Salawat upon the Ikbarar. My point till now has been to explain that when we look at the epic-making event of Ibrahim's sacrifice and the epic-making event of the establishment of the government of Imam Mahdi to come in the future, in both cases we see that there will be divine intervention. However, when we come to the epic-making event right in between the first and the last one, and that is Karbala, there we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did not avail the divine intervention. And I would like you to pay attention to the choice of the words I have here. Hussein did not avail divine intervention even though it was offered to him. We have narrations where we are told that angels came to Hussein, that do you allow us to wipe off this Yazidi army? And Imam said, no, this is my test, and I would like to go through it by normal means. Even the jinn community came to him, and Imam also refused their help. In other words, Imam's movement was based on human capabilities, in which Hussein did not resort to his special powers and knowledge in form of Vilayat-e Takwini and Ilm-e-Ghayb. And in this lies the greatness of the struggle of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat upon the Ikbarar. Remember that Ibrahim alayhi salam's struggle was on an individual level, and he succeeded in demonstrating his willingness to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hussein became Zibh Azim, the great sacrifice, because his struggle was social and collective. And it was not only his own personal issue, it was against a tyrant like Yazid. Ibrahim succeeded, Hussein also succeeded. Both succeeded, however, we celebrate one's success while we commemorate the other's success. Why the difference? The difference is because of the difference in the outcomes. Ismail was not killed while Ali Akbar was killed. Hussein's sacrifice superseded the sacrifice of Ibrahim. On the esoteric level of the ayat about the event of the sacrifice of Ibrahim that I quoted earlier, the great sacrifice, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ, there the great sacrifice is not the lamb, but Hussein ibn Ali. He became the sacrifice in the future in place of Ismail alayhi salam. Allama Iqbal again beautifully, you know, explains this connection between Ibrahim and Hussein alayhi salam. When he says, Sir Ibrahim o Ismail bood, yani an ijmal ra tafsil bood. Sir Ibrahim o Ismail bood, yani an ijmal ra tafsil bood. Referring to Hussein, Allama Iqbal says he was the secret of Ibrahim and Ismail. He became the code of their secret. Allah, Allah, by Bismillah, Pidar. Ma'nay zibhe azim amad pisar. By Allah, the Ba in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was the father, referring to Ali. While the meaning of Zibh Azim in the ayat about Ibrahim and Ismail was the son. Salawat pranayik bara. Even Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, in the ziyarat that he has for the Shuhada of Karbala, the first shaheed that he remembers is Ali Akbar. Just to give you an example of the level of sacrifice that Hussein ibn Ali made. It's not that Hussein ibn Ali didn't have the powers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with as an imam. It's not that he didn't have ilm ghayb. It's not that he didn't have wilayat takwini. Marhum Ayatullah Imam Khomeini, explaining wilayat takwini, he says what it means is that all the atoms of the universe are at the disposal of the Wali, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the level of wilayat takwini. And ilmi ghayb, knowledge of the unseen, what will happen in the future. Just to give you one example that yes, Imam had that knowledge and he used it. But not on the day of Ashura in Karbala, when this caravan was moving from Makkah towards Kufa. When the caravan stopped at the manzil known as Sharaf, early morning, when the caravan got ready to move on, Imam called the youths who were assigned with the duty of fulfilling the water bags, the bashk, and load it on the camels which were assigned for that work. Imam called them and he says, according to the narration which is there in Tabari, so I'm not even quoting a Shia source here. He says, on that day, Imam asked them early morning that take extra water today. Why would Imam do that? This was not normal. Those days when you travel with the camels, you know, the guide knows from one manzil to another, from one stop to another, it's when 1 day's journey or 2 days' journey. And those manzil stops means the places where they can get water for themselves. And so the guides will tell them, only take that much water which would be good enough till next manzil. Because if you overload the bags, you will be overloading the camels and the speed of the caravan will be reduced. Imam Hussein ibn Ali did this because he is Imam of Nur, Imam of Light. And when he realizes that somebody is there who has this potential of seeing the light and being guided to the right path, He will do everything within his power, even access to ilm ghaib, in order to pull him towards the haq and the truth. Imam knew that Hur is going to come with his cavalry force today, and they are going to see one another today. And he wanted to have extra water so that he will be able to quench the thirst of Hur and his cavalry force before even asking them whether they have come as friends or as enemies. And this was in a way trying to pull the pure heart of Hur towards himself. So Husayn ibn Ali accessed the ilm ghaib that he had in order to guide Hur. In Karbala, did he know that from 8th of Muharram there will be no more water? Imam knew about it. But he didn't ask his companions to, you know, gather extra water, because he was going through a test along with his family and friends. And he wanted to go through that test and trial by normal means and not resort to any, you know, supreme divine power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to him. He uses his powers for others, but not when it comes to himself. He uses his velayat takwini to guide others, but he doesn't resort to that authority that he has over the atoms in this universe for his personal sake. And that is the greatness of Husayn ibn Ali. Just think about it. It was not easy for Imam Husayn alayhi salam to let Ali Akbar go for the battle, where everybody was going and being killed at the end. Because who is Ali Akbar? Ali Akbar is not only a son. He was a son who was a very great son. If you remember even the incident before they reached Karbala, Imam Husayn alayhi salam was riding on his horse. He went through this state of slumber while riding and sitting on the horse. He saw a vision. Somebody is saying that this caravan is moving towards the death, and the death is moving towards it. Remember, Ibrahim also had a vision. This command to sacrifice Ismail didn't come through an angel, didn't come through a revelation in written form. It came through the dream that Ibrahim saw. Husayn also saw this dream. And when he came to consciousness, Husayn ibn Ali, he uttered the words, "Inna lillahi wa inna alayhi raji'un." Ali Akbar, remember, look at his akhlaq. He's traveling with the father. But out of respect, his horse is a little bit behind the horse of Husayn ibn Ali. But when he heard his father saying, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," Ali Akbar went forward until he reached parallel to his father. And he says, "Father, what you said is haqq. This is the truth. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." But what was the purpose and occasion of this? And Husayn says that, "I saw this vision. Somebody saying we are coming to the death. We are going towards the death, and the death is coming towards us." Remember, what was the response of Ismail according to Quran? He says, "O Father, do what you have been commanded to do. Inshallah, tajidani min as-sabirin. Inshallah, you will find me among those who are patient ones, who have sabr." What is the response of Ali Akbar here? He just asked one question. "Ya abata, alasna ala al-haq?" Are we not on haq and the truth? When Husayn said, "Indeed we are," then he says, "La nubali." "O Father, we don't care whether then we are going towards the death or the death comes towards us." And this is where you see the greatness of Ali Akbar. On that level of, you know, thought process and the ideas and the concepts. So clear. Speaking the same words that Ali ibn Abi Talib had uttered many, many times. And so on the day of Ashura, Hazrat Ali Husayn, jab Akbar aaye hain, اجازت مانگنے کے لیے حسین ابن علی کے لیے آسان نہیں تھا، بڑا مشکل تھا. وہ بیٹا کہ جس کی تعریف معاویہ نے بھی کی ہے کہ بنو ہاشم اور بنو امیہ میں ان دونوں خاندان میں اگر کوئی فرد ہے جس پر دونوں خاندان متفق ہو سکتے ہیں تو نام لیتا ہے علی ابن الحسین. اشارہ جناب علی اکبر کی طرف تھا. اگر ایسا بیٹا، عظیم بیٹا سامنے آتا ہے اذن جہاد کے لیے، حسین ابن علی کا یہ ذاتی امتحان تھا. عزادارانِ حسین، ہم نے مقاتل پڑھے ہیں اپنے طالب علمی کے دور سے، ہر شہید کے سلسلے میں دیکھا، یہاں تک کہ عباس کے بارے میں بھی، کہ حسین نے فوراً اجازت نہیں دی ہے، ہیزیٹیٹ کی ہے، کرتے ہیں. لیکن ایک موقع ملا ہے کہ جہاں بیٹا آیا، تاریخ میں صرف اتنا ملتا ہے، استأذن فأذن له، بیٹا آیا، اس نے اذن اور اجازت چاہی اور حسین نے اجازت دے دی. اس لیے کہ حسین جانتے تھے اون محمد میرے بیٹے نہیں ہیں، قاسم میرے بیٹے نہیں ہیں، عباس میرے بیٹے نہیں ہیں، جو اصحاب ہیں وہ میرے خاندان کے نہیں ہیں، اکبر میرا اپنا بیٹا ہے، خداوند عالم میرا ذاتی امتحان لے رہا ہے. ایک لمحے کے لیے بھی حسین نے ہیزیٹیٹ نہیں کیا ہے، اجازت دے دی ہے. لیکن اجازت دے کر کہتے ہیں کہ بیٹا رخصت ہونے سے پہلے حرم، اہل حرم کے پاس جاؤ، اپنی پھوپھی سے بھی اجازت لے رو. حمید بن مسلم کی روایت ہے کہ ہم نے دیکھا کہ جب اکبر اہل حرم کے خیمے میں گئے ہیں، ہر تھوڑی دیر کے بعد پردہ اٹھتا تھا اور پھر دوبارہ گر جاتا تھا. لگتا ہے کہ یہ جوان نکلنا چاہتا تھا، لیکن کبھی زینب روک لیتی تھی، کبھی بہن روک لیتی تھی، کبھی دوسری پھوپھی آ کے روک لیتی تھی. آخر میں جناب علی اکبر جو ہے اہل حرم سے خدا حافظی کے بعد، الوداع کے بعد نکلتے ہیں، گھوڑے پر سوار ہوتے ہیں، اور تھوڑی دیر تک چلنے کے بعد احساس ہوتا ہے کہ پیچھے پیچھے کوئی چل رہا ہے. اکبر نے اپنے گھوڑے کو روکا، مڑ کے دیکھتے ہیں تو ضعیف باپ نظر آتا ہے، آہستہ آہستہ پیچھے چل رہا ہے. کہتے ہیں بابا اجازت دے دی ہے آپ نے، یہ پیچھے آنے کی وجہ کیا ہے؟ اس وقت حسین کہتے ہیں بیٹا، اگر تیرا بیٹا ہوتا جس کو 18 سال تک پالا ہوتا اور اب وہ مقتل کی طرف روانہ ہو رہا ہوتا، تب تجھے احساس ہوگا ہوتا کہ تیرے باپ کے دل کی کیا کیفیت ہے. میں نے تم کو خدا پر سو سونپا، بیٹا آگے جاؤ. لیکن حسین نے اس وقت ہاتھوں کو بلند کیا ہے اور عمر بن سعد اور اس لشکری یزید پر بدعا کی ہے. ایک جملہ کہتے ہیں، خداوندہ تو گواہ رہنا، خداوندہ تو گواہ رہنا، آج اس بیٹے کو ہم روانہ کر رہے ہیں جو خلقن و خلقن و منطقن شبی برسولک، جو اپنے چہرے میں، اپنی صورت اور سیرت اور گفتار میں بھی رسول کا شبیہ تھا. جب بھی میری تمنا ہوتی تھی رسول کی زیارت کے لیے، میں اپنے بیٹے کے چہرے کی طرف دیکھ لیتا تھا. خداوندہ یہ بیٹا جا رہا ہے. عمر ابن سعد سے کہتے ہیں، عمر ابن سعد، خدا تمہاری نسل کو قطع کرے جس طرح سے تو میری اولاد کو قتل کر رہا ہے. جناب علی اکبر جاتے ہیں، انفرادی مقابلہ ہوتا ہے، یکے بعد دیگرے یزیدیوں کو فنار کرتے ہیں. آخر میں ایک مقابلہ اس یزیدی سپاہی سے ہوا جو بہت ہی شجاعت اور قوت میں مشہور تھا. حسین ابن علی نے جب اس منظر کو دیکھا ہے، دعا کرتے ہیں اکبر کے لیے. اکبر وہاں بھی کامیاب ہوتے ہیں. کامیاب ہونے کے بعد اکبر جو ہے واپس آتے ہیں،
अच्छा दौरा ने हुसैन उस वक्त अकबर ने आके बाबा से एक सवाल किया है, कहते हैं या अहमद सिकल अलातश कद कतलनी व सिकल हदीद अजहदनी, खुदा ए बाबा प्यास ने मुझे कत्ल कर दिया है और असलहे की संगीनी ने मुझे थका दिया है, क्या कोई सबील हो सकती है कि पानी का एक कतरा मिल सके ताकि मेरी कुव्वत दोबारा आ जाए। दौरान हुसैन, हुसैन के लिए बहुत सख्त इम्तहान था, बेटा कामयाब हो के आया है जंग से, इना में सिर्फ पानी का एक कतरा मांगता है, लेकिन हाय हुसैन विलायत तकवीनी रहते रखते हुए भी अगर चाहते तो नहर अलकमा के रुख को मोड़ सकते थे, खयाम तक पानी आ सकता था, लेकिन हाय हुसैन की अजमत कि हुसैन ने अपने जाती इम्तहान में अपने विलायत तकवीनी का इस्तेमाल न किया। जवाब बेटी को क्या देते, बस जवाब में कहते हैं बेटा मेरी जबान को अपने दहन में ले लो। कभी कभी हमारे जवान अक्सर परेशान हो जाते हैं कि हुसैन ने ये क्यों किया, बस हम समझाना चाहते हैं। अदादारों ने हुसैन, हुसैन को मालूम था पानी जो है किस दिन से बंद हो जाएगा, लिहाजा हुसैन ने सबसे पहले पानी का इस्तेमाल कम करना शुरू कर दिया था। आशूर के दिन जमीन करबला पे अगर कोई फर्द था जो जो सबसे ज्यादा प्यासा था वो हुसैन इब्ने अली की जात थी। अपनी जबान को जब अकबर की जबान ध्यान में रखते हैं, फौरन अकबर ने जबान निकाल दी, ऐसा हुआ कि बाबा की जबान मुझसे भी ज्यादा खुश है। ये एक अंदाज था बेटे के सामने मजबूरी पेश करने के लिए कि बेटा मेरे पास पानी नहीं, बस एक जुमला कहते हैं अकबर तुम जाओ तेरे दादा आ चुके हैं, एक पानी का कासा लिए हुए हैं, तुझे सैराब कर देंगे, इस तरह से कि दोबारा कभी प्यास नहीं लगेगी। अकबर दोबारा जाते हैं, अदादार हुसैन इतनी थकन और प्यास के बाद ये जवान कब तक लड़ सकता। लड़ते लड़ते एक मर्तबा एक लईन ने अपने बर्छी से अपने नेजे से अकबर का निशाना लगाया और नेजा रवाना करता है, आके सीने में पेवस्त हो जाती है। अदादार हुसैन अकबर अपने को घोड़े पर न संभाल सके, घोड़े से जमीन पर आते हैं, लेकिन जमीन पर गिरते गिरते अकबर ने एक जुमला कहा है बाबा को जो बहुत ही तूलानी जुमला था, कहते हैं या बता लई कमिन सलाम। हुसैन हर सिपाही ने गिरते वक्त मौला को मदद के लिए पुकारा था, अब्बास ने भी मदद के लिए पुकारा था, लेकिन ये गैरतमंद बेटा था बाबा को मदद के लिए नहीं पुकारता है, जहमत नहीं देता है, कहता है आप पर आखिरी सलाम हो। उसके बाद एक तूलानी जुमला कहते हैं, कहते हैं ए बाबा मेरे जद आ चुके हैं, उन्होंने मुझे सैराब कर दिया है, ये जुमला क्यों कहा है अकबर ने। अकबर को उस वक्त भी एहसास था कि मैंने जब पानी मांगा है बाबा से और जब बाबा पानी न दे सके, बाबा के चेहरे पर मायूसी के आसार थे, उस चेहरे को याद के रखा है अकबर ने आखिर तक। अफसोस रहा बाबा को मुतमईन करने के लिए ये जुमला कहते हैं, जबकि सीने में बर्छी लगी हुई थी कि बाबा आपका बेटा अब सैराब हो चुका है, वह प्यासा नहीं। अकबर जैसे ही आवाज जब आई है हुसैन के पास, مولا اٹھتی ہے اٹھتے ہیں اور مقتل کی طرف روانہ ہوئے، ہر تھوڑی دیر کے بعد بیٹھ جاتے ہیں، یا علی عین علی، بار بار علی علی کہہ کے پکارتے تھے، نہیں معلوم کہ علی اکبر کو آواز دے رہے تھے یا مشکل کشا کو مدد کے لیے آواز دے رہے تھے۔ جب پہنچے ہیں اکبر کے پاس تو دیکھا کہ بیٹا جو ہے ایڑیاں رگڑ رہا ہے، ہاتھ سینے پہ ہے، بیٹھ کے کہتے ہیں، بیٹا بعدک علی الدنیا عفا، اس دنیا پر تیرے بعد خاک ہو۔ جب ہاتھ کو دیکھا، ہاتھ کو ہٹاتے ہیں، اور اس کے بعد جب نیزے کی انی کو دیکھا، ایک مرتبہ حسین نے اپنا ہاتھ وہاں رکھا اور اس کے بعد ایک جملہ کہتے ہیں، عزاداران حسین جب حاجی منا میں قربانی کرتے ہیں اس وقت ایک جملہ پڑھا جاتا ہے، بسم اللہ وعلی رسول اللہ وعلی ملت رسول اللہ، بسم خداوند عالم، یہ بسم اللہ کہا جاتا ہے اس وقت۔ بس عجب عجب منظر ہے کہ ابراہیم آ کے دیکھیں، آپ نے جو ہے گلے پر جو ہے چھڑی پھرائی تھی لیکن وہ دمبا تھا، آج حسین اپنی قربانی منا کی کربلا میں پیش کر رہے ہیں۔ جیسے ہی انی نکلی ہے نیزے کی، اکبر کی روح جو ہے ملے اعلیٰ تک پرواز کر جاتی ہے۔ حسین نے دونوں ہاتھ کو اکبر کے نیچے رکھا اور اپنے سینے سے لگاتے ہیں لاش کو، آگے بڑھتے ہیں۔ تھوڑی دیر جب خیام نظر آئے، بس لاشے کو زمین پر رکھ دیتے ہیں، آواز دیتے ہیں، اے بنو ہاشم کے بچے، اے بنو ہاشم کے بچے، آؤ اپنے بھائی کے لاشے کو لے جاؤ، اس ضعیف باپ سے جوان کا لاشا نہیں اٹھ رہا۔ الا لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین، سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون۔ خداوندہ اس قلیل بات قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خداوندہ شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں اس عزاداری کے صدقے میں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ، خصوصاً اس کرونا وائرس کے دور میں تمام عزاداروں کی حفاظت فرما، عزاداری کی حفاظت فرما، چاہے وہ امامباڑوں میں ہو، مساجد میں ہو، حسینیہ میں ہو یا گھروں میں ہو۔ خداوندہ جتنے دشمنان اسلام ہیں جو سازشیں کر رہے ہیں، خصوصاً مڈل ایسٹرن ایریا میں، خداوندہ ان کی سازشوں کو ناکام قرار دے۔ تکفیری افواج جہاں شیعان علی کو اپنا نشانہ بناتے ہیں، خداوند عالم ان کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔ ماتم حسین۔